The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to Mormon Identity, a 30-minute talk radio program that addresses church topics important to members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Our host is Robert L. Millett, professor of religious education at Brigham Young University.
Welcome to Mormon Identity. I'm Bob Millett. I'm joined today by my friend and colleague, Professor Daniel Judd of the Department of Ancient Scripture at Brigham Young University. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Bob.
Today, Dan, in this segment, we want to talk about effective gospel learning, how to become more serious gospel scholars. Is that too hard? Does that language seem inappropriate to you, that we ought to become gospel scholars?
What was it Elder Maxwell said years ago? I fear in the church there are too many of our women who are
Christians.
Christians, and our men are the theologians.
Yeah.
And we really ought to be both.
Yeah, that's
right. What he was teaching us in that comment, I believe.
I agree. Effective gospel learning. Maybe I can get us started by suggesting an idea. I'm reminded of a statement from President Heber C. Kimball years ago. You'll remember this one, Dan, where President Kimball said that the time is coming when no man or woman will be able to exist on borrowed light. Now, he was talking about a witness or a conviction of the Holy Ghost that every person needs to have. But I would say that the principle holds for gospel study as well. It seems to me that too often we rely upon what other people know.
Or I think even sometimes we rely upon the own light we've experienced from a previous time in our lives,
mm-hmm.
back when we were missionaries. Mm-hmm. When I was a missionary, we live in the past.
That's sometimes. Right. We really hope to have a few experiences between then and the time we die.
Yeah, or as you say, on someone else's light, and we look to other people's scholarship and commentaries, and instead of really getting there and taking responsibility for ourselves to learn the gospel of Christ.
I'm reminded of a statement from President Joseph F. Smith, who's speaking about what he calls the sanctity of a true testimony. And he says, a testimony is not something that's just to be shouted from the housetops, nor is it something that's to be given to people whether they want it or not. And he goes on to say that our testimony needs to be substantive. We need to have a witness of something. And that really it isn't enough to just say, well, I don't know much about the gospel, but I know it's true. Well, that's nice. It's nice when I'm pushed up against the wall of faith to be able to say, look, I don't have the answer to your question, but I want you to know I have a witness. I have a conviction that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches the truth. That's good. That's a wonderful thing.
Right,
but
right.
Think how much more effective it is to be able to say, let's talk about your question. We talk about it, and then to bear testimony. I remember our wonderful friend Robert Matthews heard President Hubie Brown once say, I'm impressed with a man who can stand up and say, I know the gospel is true. And Brother Brown says, but I want to say, but sir, do you know the gospel? And I think that's a very interesting point, because a witness, a conviction, a testimony has to be of propositions. It has to be of things, of statements, of truths, of doctrines.
You know, we oftentimes hear this verse quoted in the Doctrine and Covenants in the context of teaching, but I think it's also appropriate in learning. Seek not to declare my word, but first seek to obtain my word.
Yeah.
And then shall your tongue be loosed. So really, we it's not enough just to say that we know some things and talk about some things, but we've got to have obtained the word of God by serious study.
Well, and there's just no question that there is something about a person who knows the gospel well, who has spent time with the Holy Word, who's not a distant acquaintance with Scripture, but someone who knows Scripture, who knows the gospel. There's something about the power of their word that is so much more effective in persuading appropriately and touching other people than someone who really hasn't paid the price.
That's right. And we live in a great information age. There's just so much around us, so many things to know and to learn and to understand, but those who really put the gospel as a priority in their study, what a blessing they are to the world.
Then I go back to President Joseph F. Smith's statement about the sanctity of a true testimony. He ends that little section by saying, and I love this, it's rather piercing, he said, of those called to speak in the name of the Lord desires humility, not ignorance.
Hmm.
And so
powerful.
You know, this
penetrating
idea
is a good word.
We just can't get by without knowing the gospel. We've got to know it better than we do. Dan, you have the Doctrine and Covenants there.
I do.
Why don't you read for us section 88, verse 118, this great revelation known as the olive leaf, and this very fascinating bit of instruction. Read that for us.
And as all have not faith, seek ye diligently to teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning, even by study and also by faith.
There's a lot there. I want to start, though, with this very interesting thing that the verse, 118, begins with the clause, as all have not faith. I mean, it's as if the Lord's saying, now, since everyone doesn't have sufficient faith,
mm-hmm.
what? Seek out of the best books.
Yeah. And I think that's true. You know, we have testimonies and we're committed. But all of us experience highs and lows, ebbs
mm-hmm.
and flows.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, there are those, even though we're studying and you're living, but life is challenging.
It is. And I think this, since all don't have the faith that they need, since we all
right.
don't have the kind of conviction and witness we need, since we don't have the understanding we need, seek learning out of the best books.
That's interesting. Two words there, best books. A lot of books out there.
Yeah, and some are better than others. And I think mm-hmm. that it certainly goes beyond the Scriptures. I mean, we ought to be as widely read as we can afford to be in terms of time and resources. You'll remember in that same section 88, the Lord encourages them to those who are called to go out into the ministry to study history
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
geography and
right.
and anthropology and political science, all of those things mentioned in those verses. But, of course, gospel learning is more significant than them all.
What Elder Maxwell say, there is not a democracy of facts.
No, not all of them are. And I think it's important. You know, a person could get up in sacrament meeting and say, I want to talk today on the laws of motion. And could give a very fine presentation on the laws of motion. And everything he says be completely true.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't taught the gospel.
Right, right.
Some things matter more than others. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mormon Identity. I'm Bob Millett, joined by Dan Judd. Both of us work in the Department of Ancient Scripture at Brigham Young University. Dan, we're talking about effective gospel learning. And we've dealt with the matter of the fact that we can't abide on borrowed light, that we have to be, there has to be a growing edge in our lives. Today's knowledge isn't sufficient for tomorrow, is it?
Correct.
And we've begun to speak on this matter of seek learning even by study and also by faith. What do you think of when you hear that phrase, by study and also by faith?
You know, I think sometimes we make an inappropriate or maybe a confusing dichotomy there.
Mm-hmm.
We say there are some things that are we arrive at by thinking and other things we arrive at by things spiritual.
Almost implying you don't have to do any gospel thinking. You just have to sit back and let the revelation pour into your soul.
Yeah, and that's incorrect. I don't think that's what the Lord intended there in that verse, that we're meant to study all things, but I think especially gospel things, by using the power of intellect, the power of reason. Every intellectual faculty we have should focus on gospel kinds of things.
Yeah, I remember President Romney, Marion G. Romney, saying years ago that he's convinced that no kind of decent learning comes except by serious study, but that he's also persuaded that by the power of faith and the power of the Spirit, some learning comes that supplements
That's
our
right.
study.
Yeah, arouse your faculties, we learn in Alma.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's every faculty you have should be focused on the gospel, especially.
Well, does this say anything to you, Dan, about our study habits?
Well, and even, you know, study and also by faith. Faith simply doesn't apply things spiritual. It also implies action.
Mm-hmm.
What did the prophet Joseph Smith say about faith
it's
and
a principle
action?
Of action.
That's right. And so not only should we be learning and understanding, but also living and applying
mm-hmm.
what we're learning.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's
good.
Also how it sticks with us as we act upon these things.
You have a statement there, Dan, by President Hunter on reading habits, don't you?
I do. I'll see. I've got it right here handy.
I think about my own reading habits, and it's so easy to sort of get in the rut of read a bit, okay, I've done my reading, and not sort of pay the price to read, ponder, reflect, allow the Spirit of the Lord to bring personal application. Go ahead.
President Hunter said this, reading habits vary widely. There are rapid readers and slow readers, some who read only small snatches at a time and others who persist without stopping until the book is finished. Those who delve into the scriptural library, however, find that to understand requires more than casual reading or perusal. There must be concentrated study. It is certain that one who studies the scriptures every day accomplishes far more than one who devotes considerable time one day and then lets days go by before continuing. Sounds like physical exercise for a few of us.
Well, it's almost like, you know, you've seen this, and I've even tried it myself. It's not very effective. It's called marathon study. I don't do anything Monday through Saturday, but I study scriptures 8 hours on Sunday, you know.
We're weekend warriors.
That's good.
He continues, not only should we study each day, but there should also be a regular time set aside when we can concentrate without interference.
Yeah, I like that.
Challenging for young mothers.
Especially. And, you know, and part of it has to be there's a time and there's a season for everything. And it may be while we've got those little ones and we're having to carry them out in the hall so that they're not disruptive to others. Maybe for this time and season, I'm not able to get as much out of church. And maybe I don't have as much time to devote to gospel studies I'd like. But that time will come.
And that's also, I think, an invitation for fathers and husbands, you know, to be especially aware of mothers, young mothers especially, who... We need to help them have time to nourish their souls.
Including maybe taking the kids for a ride so mom can have some time alone.
That's right. And as you said earlier, in fact, was it President Packer that said to the brethren, you are the one that should take them out during sacrament meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Was that him? I don't recall that.
It was President Packer.
But again, allowing the mother, the wife, to be nourished during sacrament meeting.
Let me read you this wonderful statement from Elder Bruce R. McConkie from The Promised Messiah. Elder McConkie wrote this, those who preach by the power of the Holy Ghost use the scriptures as their basic source of knowledge and doctrine. They begin with what the Lord has before revealed to other inspired men, but it is the practice of the Lord to give added knowledge to those upon whose hearts the true meanings and intents of the scriptures have been impressed. Many great doctrinal revelations come to those who preach from the Scriptures. When they are in tune with the infinite, the Lord lets them know first the full and complete meaning of the Scriptures they are expounding. And then He oft-times expands their views so that new truths flood in upon them, and they learn added things that those who do not follow such a course can never know. You see, that's not just true with gospel teachers. That's true of gospel students, too. Those times when you find yourself reading Alma 31 or 32, maybe you're in 32 and you're so excited to study faith, or you're in 34 and you're so excited to focus on atonement, and yet each time you find your mind sort of drifting over to this or that, yeah, there are times when we ought to rivet our minds and be disciplined. There are other times when we probably ought to not be too upset that our mind is drifting. It may be a divine drift. It may be that I'm being led to think about or feel something I hadn't supposed I would.
We always quote in section 50 about teaching by the Spirit, but also there's the same phrase, learning by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's what you're describing.
Yeah, it's to allow ourselves to be open to those little inroads, those little side canyons where maybe the Spirit of the Lord tries to get through to us, whether it's listening to a general conference address or whether it's reading Scripture or sitting in a sermon in sacrament meeting. Brother Brown may be teaching about so-and-so and speaking about that in the sacrament meeting, but suddenly we feel impressed to write something down on that 3x5 card. We'll discuss this a little more when we come back. Welcome back to Mormon Identity. This is Bob Millett. I'm with my friend Dan Judd, and we're discussing effective gospel learning. Dan, we've just been talking about how significant it is to know that the Holy Ghost can prompt us when we least expect it. We may be focusing on this or that matter or this or that chapter or doctrine, and suddenly we find ourselves thinking about something else. And I, I mentioned that it's pretty significant sometimes to take a moment and write down what we feel.
Mm-hmm. There's a phrase, I don't know who the author is, but he said or she said, the dullest of pencils is better than the sharpest of minds.
Yeah, it's probably the case that later that day, that night, or the next week, we're not going to remember what came to us.
Yeah, I see in your pocket there's a 3x5 card. In my pocket there's a little book, black book that I use. And yeah. I take this everywhere but the shower.
Yeah.
And I write down those
sometimes
thoughts.
Sometimes I wish I had it in the shower because some of my finest revelations come in the shower.
That's exactly right.
No, I think that's critical, and that's why I bring those 3x5 cards. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ideas hit me, and I think, you know, I need to write that down.
Right.
Well, I remember you telling me once about or discussing with me something that Elder Ballard said, Elder M. Russell Ballard.
Elder Ballard, as you will remember, served as a mission president in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and had a wonderful group of missionaries he served with, and after he had returned home and was here, had been called as a general authority. I don't know if he was one of the 12 by then, but one of his missionaries came to visit with him. And this missionary was deeply troubled. And he said, Elder Ballard, President Ballard, I have serious concerns. I've been reading things about the church that I didn't know about before, and I have questions. Almost demanding and challenging Elder Ballard to mm-hmm. answer these questions mm-hmm. that he had. It's, you know, the typical anti-Mormon objections that we hear. So Elder Ballard listened very carefully and said, Elder, I'm happy to answer your questions. He said, but I want to do this right, do it well. You give me 10 days and come back, and I'll have every answer for you that you're looking for. And he said, now, Elder, you've given me an assignment. Let me give you yours. During these next 10 days, you study 1 hour from the Book of Mormon, and then come back and we'll talk. So 10 days later, he comes in, they sit down, and Elder Ballard says, okay, Elder, let's pray, and then I'm ready. He says, Elder Ballard, I don't need your answers. And he bore his testimony to him. I know that God lives. I know that Joseph Smith is a prophet. I know the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. And Elder Ballard said, what have you learned from all of this? And he said, I've learned to give the Lord equal time.
That's good.
He hadn't been reading the Scriptures. He hadn't been reading the teachings of the living prophets. He had been reading other kinds of things.
You know, that experience reminds me of one I had as a stake president where a young man.
And you are what you eat.
That's good.
Go ahead.
A young man came in. The bishop sent him in, fact, and the bishop explained to me that he had a very bitter attitude, the boy did, and that I should be prepared for that. The young man came in, and what he said was very interesting. He said, I have a serious sin in my life. It probably needs confessing, but I have no intention whatsoever of confessing.
Yeah.
And I don't have any intention of spending time with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on, and there was a bit of cockiness about him mm-hmm. in terms of kind of condescending comments about the church, and he was much more knowledgeable now, and he had sort of grown and developed into a higher plane than our traditional way of looking at things. And I sensed that, and it was a bit offensive, but I tried to hold my temper, and I finally said, you know, I was thinking of an assignment for you, but I'm not sure you're up to it. He said, what do you mean up to it? I said, I'm not sure you're intellectually and spiritually capable of handling it, so maybe we ought not do this. What do you mean intellectually and spiritually? I just got something. I'm just not sure you're up to it. I don't think you're equal to the task. Well, of course I'm equal to it. And I said, well, it's going to sound very plain to you, mm-hmm. but I'm just not sure you can handle it. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me, what is it? I said, I don't want to see you again for 2 weeks, but in that 2 weeks, I want you to read the Book of Mormon. He said, well, I've read the Book of Mormon. I said, yeah, but this time I want you to read it in 2 weeks. I don't want you to do any cross-referencing. I don't want you to do any writing down. I just want you to read for 2 weeks. And I said, I think that entails about, and I named the number of pages that would entail per day. And he was cocky and he was rebellious. Oh, I don't see what the I said, well, I didn't think you could handle it. It seems to me a bit over your head. It's probably more than you could handle in 2 weeks. Oh, I could read this thing. And I said, well, let's see.
Helmut would call that stratagem.
Yeah, I'm using a little stratagem, catching him in his guile. You know, he left, and I wasn't quite sure where that would go, to be honest with you. He came back in 2 weeks, entirely different countenance, very tender, very broken in spirit. And he said, I read the Book of Mormon. I said, really? He said, President, I'd read the Book of Mormon many times, but this was different. I said, why? He said, I don't know. I guess I saw some things I'd never seen before. I said, did you feel anything? He said, yeah, I felt some things I'd never felt before either. And then he turned to me and said, before we talk about these things, I have some things I need to confess. I said, okay. And we dealt with that. Now, we took care of his serious transgressions, and he had to face some church discipline, but bless his heart, what a difference. And what that said to me, Dan, it sounds so simple. What it said to me is that Scripture, the study of the gospel, is amazingly therapeutic, and it can solve so many of our problems. The power of the Word is far greater than we've ever given it credit.
A renewed faith led to repentance and a renewal of the covenants and a return of the Holy Ghost.
Agreed. Do you have something?
There's an interesting verse here in Alma 32 that really highlights or testifies of what you've just said. If you nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if you neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withers away. And ye pluck it up and cast it out.
Oh, that's good.
And all of us, that sun scorches every one of us. It comes and it burns and it challenges us. We've got to make sure that our hearts and our minds have been nourished by the good word of God.
Well said. You know, Dan, I close for us by suggesting there's so many ways to study the gospel. Study the scriptures sequentially, as we always do, or study them topically, or use the topical guide and study different topics and study them from all four of the standard works. Cross-referencing can be important, but I found not just cross-referencing pertinent scriptures, but cross-referencing the teachings of presidents of the church. I have teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith throughout my standard works. Cross-referencing conference reports. Mm-hmm. See SWK, Spencer W. Kimball, conference report, April 1976.
I do the same.
And I think that makes us better students of Scripture. There's just no substitute for knowing the gospel, Dan, and brothers and sisters. There's just nothing quite like the satisfaction and the peace that can come when the Lord can draw upon what we've studied, what we've learned, what we've prepared, and we sense that all of that was worth it, because the Lord can now use what we've studied and learned to bless His children.
You've been listening to Mormon Identity. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you join us next time.